Let's get to Catherine Kaminsky, our guest for the half hour. Catherine is Chief Research Strategist, also a Portfolio Manager at Alpha Simplex Group. She joins from Boston. Catherine, glad you could be with us. Let's talk about the interest rate story. I think we have to begin there. Looks like Vice Chair Lael Brainard is kind of setting the table, so to speak, for a moderation in the size of these rate hikes. This is something, though, that the market has been expecting, right?
Yes, we've seen a lot more. I mean, I'm coming from the momentum side. We've seen a lot more dissipation and signals. We've also seen that the strength of what has been one of the greatest trends of this year has come down some, especially volatility in bonds has increased as well. So you're starting to see some dissipation of that narrative. And I think for us, it's really the difference between the shorter term view and the longer term view for interest rates that is really sort of at odds right now.
So we're seeing a lot of evidence that the economy is slowing. I mean, when you look at the real estate market, housing sales activity is down, home prices are down. Today, we got news that Amazon is planning to cut about 10,000 jobs. Just one example, we're seeing a lot of concern about the strength of the economy in the new year, and maybe corporates are beginning to act a little preemptively and anticipate a lot more weak demand going forward. Has this been adequately reflected, do you think, in equity prices right now when you consider the earnings part of the story?
Yeah, I think this is where the longer term view is kind of looking like we have to continue fighting inflation and getting there. But the shorter term view is a lot of people have money on the sidelines. A lot of people have been waiting to see, you know, could this get better? So I think that's where there's a mismatch in time horizons. I mean, clearly the Fed is thinking this very through, gathering data points. And when they say soon, I unfortunately think that soon is not the same soon that the market thinks. The market thinks soon is tomorrow sometimes. So that's one thing to think about from that perspective.
So if we can agree that the Fed may adjust the pace or the magnitude of these rate increases somewhat, I'm wondering if we can make a call on the dollar, because for a lot of these multinationals, the dollar has been a big headwind.
Oh, yes. I mean, that has been probably the most surprising trend to me this year, because as you know, the dollar generally is more range bound than some of the other assets that we trade. And I think it has continued to a degree that I didn't expect. And this is clearly putting pressure on many other currencies. And so you may see some reversion. You've already seen it last week, but it's going to really come to whether or not the Fed is more aggressive or not. And if they end up being more aggressive than people think, then I think the dollar could rage back a little bit more again.
So I referred to the story on China. Last Friday, we had some sweeping relaxations of controls, not only on the property market, but COVID policy as well. Look at the market in Hong Kong. Friday, the Hang Seng was up 7.7%. Yesterday, we gained about 1.7%, but the market in Hong Kong finished off the best levels. Is it a time to look at EM, particularly in Asia, if you can kind of establish the notion that maybe China's economy is going to begin to recover soon?
That's a good point. I mean, and if you look at the relative size that you saw in EM versus the US, I mean, it's a pretty big difference. I mean, and you've really seen a lot of value taken out of some of those indices. So it could be an interesting point right now to reinvest. And I think that's probably why you're seeing a lot of investors doing that, because they're thinking, you know, it could be a good time to see the tides turn.
Yeah, looking at this GDP number that we got out of Japan a short while ago, -1.2%. I'm just wondering in my own mind whether this reflects the weakness of the Chinese economy, because Japan does rely on China. It exports a great deal into that economy. So I think it's fair to say that so much of the world, particularly the Asia Pacific, relies on a very, very strong China. And it seems as though now that we're on the other side of the Party Congress, Beijing has got that message, and maybe a small modification in the COVID policy as well could help out. But is there a segment of the Chinese market that you would look to put money to work in? We were talking yesterday about some of the relaxations that the property market may benefit from. And I'm wondering whether or not there are segments like property that have been so decimated that you feel like, okay, I'll take a flyer and I'll put some money to work there.
I mean, I think that's a good point. For us, it's probably something more of a commodity story. Anything linked to commodities and anything linked to a resurgence in demand is going to mean positive opportunities, whether it's outside China or inside China. So I think that's something that I would probably want to think about. We're still not seeing that yet. I mean, we're still seeing lack of demand for things like oil and other products. So I think eventually you're going to start seeing some sectors that have been much more affected by this situation coming back. So I guess it's good to see that there is some chance of a buying opportunity right now.
Yeah, to your point, today OPEC cut its demand outlook for global crude, and we were down quite a bit in New York trading, and we were weaker still here in the electronic session around 85.40 in WTI. I want to get your take on crypto. Maybe you don't play in this space. Okay, I get it. But in terms of the psychological impact, when you have a crypto chaos story that's been kind of playing out now for, it seems like, days and days, and a major meltdown in one of the key crypto exchanges, how do you read this in terms of its impact on overall market psychology?
Well, I think it's been a really interesting environment for that, because a lot of people started asking us before these situations, is crypto a safe haven asset? And it's kind of funny when you think about it at this point now that it's just an asset that is highly volatile, and volatility goes both directions. And I think this is what we're starting to see, is that there are a lot of cracks, and this is something that's new to a lot of investors. So volatility is something that needs to be respected. And this story is just sort of a reminder of that for those of us in the space.
So maybe we need some more regulation. Maybe there is some correction that will come to kind of bring order and stability to the market. But talk to me a little bit about the application of blockchain, digital currencies, cryptocurrencies. Is this something that's going to have kind of lasting, durable impact on the global economy?
Well, it certainly will, but there's going to be a lot of mishaps along the way. And I think these are the moments where you remember that, you know, new technologies, new ways of investing have to be tried out, and you have to figure out how do you manage these types of assets. I mean, I think there's always a lot of excitement and innovation, but along the way, it's not a straight line. And you're going to see people who kind of are lured in by something that sounds too good to be true.
Too good to be true. If it sounds that way, it probably is. Catherine, thank you so much for joining with us. Catherine Kaminsky, Chief Research Strategist, Portfolio Manager at Alpha Simplex, joining us here on Daybreak Asia.